Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
This is the iTricks.com Magic Stars podcast for the week ending February 4th, 2010. I'm Justin Robert Young. Coming up a little later in our newsmaker interview, we talk to our old friend, James Clark, fresh back from Haiti. Actually, in between Haiti trips, he's starting a new charity that is going to really focus on getting specialized attention to areas that need it the most. It's a really, really cool talk. I mean, if you've heard us chat with James before, you kind of know his personality, and he's certainly a guy that is, he's not shy about telling you his opinion, and this is a topic that really is near and dear to his heart. So stay tuned for that. But first, the news. Central Floridian authorities are warning locals and tourists alike to avoid scam artists who might try to separate them from their money with an age-old card swindle. Quote Gary Davidson, a spokesman for the Volusia County Sheriff's Office, "There are tourists with money, crooks and scam artists are sure to lurk. Among those that they are specifically telling anybody visiting the Daytona or Orlando areas to watch out for, three card Monty." So if you see somebody telling you to try to find the lady, run the other way or just walk. It's official. Chris Angel is set to guest host the WWE's flagship program Raw on March 8th at the Rose Garden in Portland, Oregon. He's just the latest to take his turn emceeing the proceedings. Previous guests in recent weeks have included Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger and Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. Oddly enough, he will be preceded by Jewel. Yes, Jewel. Like, remember me, because I'll remember you. Folk singer Odd-Toothed Jewel hosting Raw, which is very interesting. Angel has a history with the sports entertainment powerhouse. He did a run of shows pre-Mind Freak in the basement of the WWF-themed restaurant in Times Square back in 2001. Hot on the heels of their Zing Zang Zoom show, Ringling Brothers and Bardman Bailey Circus, the greatest show on earth, have debuted a new magic spectacular entitled Illusionation. The show opened in Albany, Georgia last week, or rather this week, and is currently slated to run through May, tagging southern cities until it hits Hidalgo, Texas. David Da Vinci is the leading man in the production, who's going to be making all the magic. If you head over to iTrix, we got a few pictures of the show in action via a Fox affiliate local to the Albany area. We want to go ahead and give a hearty congratulations to iTricks reader Matt Schick, who helped organize a benefit show entitled Beyond Belief, featuring Matt King, Jason Bishop, John Cassidy, Chad Juros, and himself. According to an email we received from Schick, the event went off without a hitch, and they were able to hand $17,000 to the Spread the Magic Foundation at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia by the end of the night. Thanks to any iTrix reader or listener to this podcast who attended or helped, retweet it to get the publicity out. You can go ahead over to iTrix, check out a picture of Mac handing over the check, the big oversized check for $17,000, wearing the cloak of invisibility. One more Chris Angel story before we get into the newsmaker interview. Perez Hilton has again become a burr in the saddle of Angel. This time, the oft-malicious blogger gave voice to members of CA's Saturday crowd for Believe who were offended by a joke made by the Illusionist. This is a quote from Mr. Hilton. The Illusionist began to do a skit with the junior magician and said, quote, "Just think, if you were a real magician, you could get any girl in the audience that you wanted." Chris paused for a moment and added, "Or in your case, any guy." It became clear that he expected the audience to erupt in laughter at this joke, quote-unquote, but all he received were some nervous laughs and boos. From then on, the LGBT members of the crowd booed every time he finished an act. Of course, this is not an isolated incident on a couple of fronts between Chris and Perez. Chris recently drew criticism when an audience member used a derogatory term for gays during the locked box mentalism effect that opens his show. Meanwhile, there is no love lost between Hilton and Angel after the latter slammed the former from the stage last April when Perez first caught the show and was defaming the production via his Twitter stream. We'll be surprised if this incident blew up as much as the two previously listed, but you never know. Thanks to iTrix reader Nick for passing this along. And now for our newsmaker interview. James L. Clark runs BlacksMagic.com. He is also the publisher of Street Magic and Magician magazines during their runs. He joined us from his home. Joining me on the phone right now is a friend of the site and a man who's been on quite a journey over the past couple weeks, James L. Clark. Welcome to the Magic Stars podcast.
Hey, thanks, Justin, man. Good to be here.
Now, James, you got back from Haiti very recently. You went down there on your own volition to go help with the relief effort. Talk a little bit about where that idea came from.
Well, I mean, long story short, the idea of volunteering has been something sort of, I don't know, I've been building on for about 5 years. Started with my exploits in Katrina. But in general, the idea of helping people around the world came in 1989 when I joined the service. I went in as a combat medic and served in combat arms and eventually moved into special operations. And so even in uniform, I've been a medic, even if that wasn't my primary duty position. It's something that I've always done, and it's an integral part of who I am. So when the earthquake happened, I was sitting watching American Idol, unfortunately giving them a plug. There's the one aspect of American Idol that I really love, and that's the part where they get berated as they come in and do their auditions.
Okay.
And then after that, I turn it off. And so
when it becomes an actual singing contest, you're done with it.
Right. Yeah, I'm done with it. I don't want to vote. I'm not interested in the winner. I don't want to see anybody succeed. I just want to see people get their butts kicked by Simon Cowell. And that just makes me that works my night and gives me a smile on my face. And then I move on.
So there we go. As we see people stream in and get their egos crushed, let's seg that naturally into your altruism that brings you to Haiti.
Exactly. Right. The total antithesis of going down and serving people in Haiti. But
sure. All right. So you're watching American Idol, and then what?
Yeah, so I see the news come on. You know how it's, CNN and Fox and the various stations are all carrying it. As I'm flipping through cable, I'm seeing it on the news channels. And so, having grown up in California where earthquakes are sort of a part of who you are, you just get used to them. You know that the building codes in California are sufficient to be able to withstand the shaking and the rolling and that kind of aspect of a natural earthquake. Well, Haiti, it just occurred to me a 7.1 or, above a 7 is of such magnitude that I couldn't imagine in my mind a third world country and Haiti being the poorest in the Northern Hemisphere being up to standard with California. And it just hit me hard, man, that these people are going to be in a lot of trouble. And I wasn't even seeing anything yet at this point, just sort of this gut feeling. And I'm not an engineer or anything. It just said to me, holy crap, these guys are going to be in trouble. And of course, you were watching the news like everybody else. And sure enough, man, every building on the street is damaged in some respect or another. And it really just called out to my heart, man. I was like, how do I get down there and make a difference? And that's when it all started.
So you put the word out, you decided you were going to go, and you sent an email blast out to everybody who was on, I assume, the Black's Magic email and Street Magic and everything. And you asked for whatever donations you could because you wanted to get down there as quick as possible. What was the reaction initially?
Well, I tell you, I should mention that it didn't matter whether I got support from the community or not. I was going to go, and I'm, as I did, and certainly going to use my own dime, which I've done in the past. However, it's certainly one of those things where by joining it together, like the strands of a rope, you can be stronger and have a bigger impact. And so my thought was, I hadn't really done anything like that before where I asked the community to step up. And, I've got lots of friends in the community and I have a few enemies in the community. And it just seemed that even people who didn't really know me were willing to step up because of the magnitude of the problem and the way that we could have an impact. And most people, they know my background, or at least they've heard of my background. And so they can reasonably assume that, I'm not going to abscond with $10. I'm going to turn that into something productive. And that's what I did. So I sent it out to the Black's Magic list. I sent it, which is also combined with the former Street Magic magazine list and the Magician magazine list. And I think we have like 37,000 people or something like that. And you never know whether they're going to get stuck in spam or what. And then I've got about 4,500 people or so on my Facebook that I let know about it. And then, of course, my friends started picking up and spreading the news. And the donations weren't huge, but they were certainly enough to be able to make a dent. And that money went into getting supplies and, you know, providing transportation and water and MREs. And, you know, it's just amazing. Even though not everybody could afford to put money in, there was a huge outpouring of support, you know, admiration for the circumstance, you know, a desire and willingness to be a part of it, even though they may not, you know, tangibly be able to. Lots of good wishes, lots of prayers, that kind of thing.
Now, we talked a little bit before we started recording that there was a kind of cynical take on what you were doing. And I kind of got a theory on that. And I think a lot of it is because people don't know you necessarily. They don't know your background. They don't know, you know, what you've done. And even when you just list, hey, I have this kind of training. I went to Katrina. I'm going to go here. If you can help me donate, give me money, it almost seems out of context to some people.
Well, I think, yeah, the magic community in general isn't used to that kind of thing. I mean, let's think about the magic community. Let's put it in perspective. And let's think about, you know, what people do in the community per se on a daily basis. And that is they talk about magic tricks. You know, what's the next best thing out? They talk about what magicians are doing or not doing. And so there's that social aspect of magic that sometimes mirrors the water cooler gathering. And there's the other social aspect of it where, you know, people are very edifying and uplifting. So you're going to get a variety of responses. The good news is that very few people were negative, and most of them don't deserve our support and interest anyways. But in fairness, they have the right to their own opinion. And I think that there are people that know my background but are naturally cynical or pessimistic anyways.
And yeah,
so it wouldn't matter whether or not, you know, I had done what I have done previously and I proved myself and I've got the awards and all that, you know, hype. It wouldn't matter because their mentality is it's locked into one way of thinking. And that is, oh, you couldn't possibly make an impact on the ground. You're going to just cause trouble. You're going to be a drain on the system. You know, there's maybe one person like that to every several thousand that are like, you know, shaking hands and hoping we can do something down there, you know.
Yeah. Now, when you're going down there, you know, is there a worry that, you know, that there's going to be a place where you can really, you know, make a difference? Is it one of those things where you've been in the situation enough that you know where to find the soft spots that you can make a difference in?
Yeah, I think to a degree, there's always that aspect in your mind that says, you know, what am I going to do? What's the plan going to be? And, this could be part of where some of the cynicism or pessimism.
Pessimism.
Thank you very much.
There
Excellent.
We go.
Nice to be communicating with a journalist.
No problem.
That's vocabulary. Some of that may come from the reality that these individuals have zero experience doing anything like that. But I am just the converse. You know, I am the antithesis of that mindset. I've got more than 20 years experience dealing with emergencies ranging from natural disasters to man-made. And so, you know, earthquakes, fires, you know, combat zones in theater, you know, the injuries that are resulting of that, the damage that's a result of that, you know, both collateral and intended, you know, I have experience with that and I was trained to do that. And so as you move from combat arms into the more thinking man's army, you know, special operations, and you get an education and that kind of thing, you quickly learn that you can make a difference with even a small amount of resources available to you. And in military terms, that's called net warfare. We work in small groups and we're largely autonomous. So it's not a major transition for me to move from a supported, semi-supported military element that has to call in for support to an individual small team element that has to call in for support. You follow?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's the same mentality. And while I might not may not have a specific location or geography that I'm going, or I may not have all of it worked out like what you may do in an operations order, which is, you know, your mission, your situation, execution, service support, and command and signal. So all of these elements coming together. But I plan just like that as a civilian now. So I think military and how I can transition that into a civilian side of the house. And it's very effective because I'm not constrained by big army orders. I'm not constrained by what the Red Cross says you can or cannot do. I'm not constrained by organizational development because it's my organization. So I'm allowed to make those leadership decisions on the fly, and it allows me to be really effective in the short term right away. And that's what happened. I went down there. I got into Puerto Plata. I drove from Puerto Plata to San Domingo, went from San Domingo by car to Haiti. And when I got into Port-au-Prince, I picked a location that I thought might work based on some communications on Facebook, and based out of there and started a little clinic slash hospital, and, you know, immediately was involved in saving people's lives.
So this was, you know, you didn't go down there and join with an organization that was already, you know, trying to, you know, fan out? Like, this was a completely lone wolf sort of operation for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the reality. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, just support the Red Cross. And while I suggest people support the Red Cross, it's not your only option. The Red Cross works in specific parameters. They're a you know, mammoth organization with $1 billion, you know, to their disposal. But they also have a huge amount of operational expenses and those parameters that they work within, the guidelines, the standard operating procedures. So for me, you know, I've contacted them in the past. I've contacted organizations like FEMA in the past. And they're just big, massive machines. And they're not used to dealing with smaller elements unless you go through quote-unquote proper channels. And that is, you know, it takes a year to go through the process to even get assimilated to some of these organizations, you know, where they do the background checks. And then they decide whether or not your skill set's going to fit with what they want. But that's rare anyways, because organizations like the Red Cross just want your cash. Now, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but that's the reality of how they operate. They want money so that the organization they currently have instituted can use those funds as they feel appropriate.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, lone wolf, if that's the way you want to put it. I was largely alone. However, to suggest that, and I know you're not, but other people have suggested that may not be effective, is a complete misnomer. It's not founded on reality. Because yeah, within an hour of being there, within 1 hour, me and another gentleman saved a young man's life. He was 20 years old, and he would have died had he not got the treatment that we provided him.
I mean, it's certainly touching. Being on the ground in Katrina and being on the ground in Haiti, can you compare what the you know, reaction in terms of the relief effort was?
When you say compare,
you know, what respect? Well, I mean, comparing into how organized it was. I mean, there were the infrastructure of the city. Sure. I mean, obviously, you know, FEMA was greatly kind of criticized for how they dealt with the Katrina issue. Exactly, for very, very good reason. And, you know, I think Haiti, their infrastructure has not really received a ton of criticism, because I don't know how much of it was there.
but they don't have one.
Yeah. Which is almost worse. So, you know, I don't know. I was just getting, you know, trying to get a sense in terms of how help was getting there and how quickly it was aiding those who needed it. Was there much of a difference?
No, actually, not in the initial push. And I think that's sort of, you know, this new organization I'm working on, Boots on the Ground, that's sort of what my mentality is and has been for the last 5 years, is I definitely believe in long-term strategy, because that's important, but you also have to, you have to have a short-term immediate effect strategy as well. And various organizations deal with those the way they see fit. For example, in Katrina, there wasn't really a short-term capability. I mean, what happened is the infrastructure was completely annihilated, you know, with the storm. New Orleans Police Department almost immediately shut down. Their vehicles were, you know, under 6 to 10 feet of water in some areas. They didn't have emergency generators to assure that what vehicles they did have had access to petroleum products, you know, like gas or diesel, as the case may be. So there was a lot of, you know, you're standing in the middle of a city that's got 200 plus years history and has enormous amounts of funds, and you're asking yourself, how the heck were they not prepared based on all the warnings they had for such a long time? And it's not unlike Haiti, except Haiti is just unprepared in general. They didn't have the resources. So the contrast isn't really that big of a difference. What you see is complete, you know, anarchy, the shutdown of the system as it was designed or not designed. No matter what, the end result was they were ineffective and not capable of dealing with the emergency.
You know, I'll tell you what, it really is a harrowing story. And James, I do thank you, you know, personally for going down there and doing what you can. You know, is there anything outside of your relief effort that you're working on inside the magic world, or anything that you want to go over?
Well, sure. I mean, let me first, before I go into that, just quickly say, hey, you know, all the listeners out there, We all love Magic, but we all have our lives outside of Magic. And Magic transcends every pretty much social, economic boundary. You know, I mean, we have doctors and lawyers and politicians, and we have the street sweepers. I mean, every aspect of our society is wrapped up in Magic. So the beautiful thing about that is that people like me can have a life outside of Magic that has an impact on society as well. And I would invite everybody there that if they want to be a part of this out with Magic, then to check out bootsontheground.org. We're going to be releasing that by the end of the week. And it's a nonprofit. We're applying for 501c3 status as well as charity status in the United Kingdom. And we hope to, you know, take the things that we've seen in Haiti as well as other needs later on and make a difference. So to transition into Magic, I'm going to Blackpool like a lot of people. I'll have a booth there and we'll be flogging my products as always. But really, it's my mind is slowly transitioning towards doing things like, you know, boots on the ground, because I think there's just a larger impact, you know, on society as a whole. But yeah, we've got that going. I'm hooking up with DeVoe from Handlords. We've got a booth together. And so I'd invite anybody at Blackpool to stop by.
All right. We definitely, you know, give a hearty stamp of approval to that. James L. Clark, thank you very, very, very much for coming on and talking about your experiences.
Justin.
And of course, you're always welcome on. You know, I'll tell you what, I forget even who, it might have even been DeVoe, who was like, hey, you know, would you like to have James on your podcast? I'm like, what do you mean? Do you want James on my podcast? James knows my number. James can call me. Well, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Jesus.
Yeah, we've been friends for quite a while, man, and definitely support iTrix and you and Andrew, and love what you guys do, and stand, you know, shoulder to shoulder with you, man. You guys have really been spearheading this type of media in the Magic industry, and I applaud that.
Oh, hey, listen, man, we're just doing some silly stuff on the internet. We're just trying to have fun, so I do appreciate it. But yeah, no, don't. Don't worry. Don't have DeVoe call me. You can call me. You know my number.
Okay, yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Lots of love to you and Andrew, man. I'll catch you.
All right. Bye. Who knew the Magic Stars podcast became a friggin' wedding all of a sudden? He needs an engraved invitation, James L. Clark. I'm just joking. He's awesome. Check him out. And we'll have more information on his charity as it becomes available. He's also heading back to Haiti, oddly enough. Well, not oddly enough, but he is. So we'll have more information on that on iTrix. David Copperfield is back at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas this Monday. It will run every single day, two shows a night, until the next time we do this podcast. Which brings us to the end of this podcast. That is about it for us this week. Remember, the Magic Week in Review airs every week. If you listen to this show, you'll really like that show. And check iTrix every single day. We got the Twitter at iTrix.com. You can find us on the RSS feed. Hook us up in your Google Reader if you go ahead and get a chance. Or just do it the old-fashioned way and click on iTrix.com. Fresh Magic news every single day of the week. Until next week, though, for the Magic Stars podcast, I am Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
iTrix.com.